Many times, as we're talking with people, as we're reading the newspaper or watching a TV news broadcast, we will hear about things that are just so unfair, so terrible, things that cause people to die, things that cause people to lose their ability to function in this world. Terrible, terrible things. And I think all of us are quite aware that there are some serious issues that we have to deal with when it comes to the way this material creation functions. We know that God is love. We know that He is righteous, just, and fair. At the end, He will give to everyone exactly what they deserve. But that doesn't always happen in this life. God is kind, He is merciful, and He is compassionate, and His creation, as it came from His hands, reflected all of these attributes about God, just like heaven will. There will be no tears, there will be no sorrows, there will be no issues or problems or difficulties. Everything will be as it should be when God is in complete control. But when man brought sin into the world, all of that changed. And so while we can read about this world where everything God has made was very good, that world is no longer here. The world we live in today does not accurately portray these things. Man doesn't have dominion. I was reading yesterday about a couple of boys in Australia who their boat ran out of gas. So they were only a little ways from shore, so they decided to swim to shore, and one of them got ate by a 12-foot crocodile. Is that fair? Is that something you would expect in a creation that God had given? And we can multiply stories like this. People who get the most terrible, terrible things happening to them. And so the Holy Spirit wrote the book of Ecclesiastes to help you and I cope with and answer and deal with some of the issues that sometimes we're going to be confronted with. And so God wanted to show the changes that happened to the creation after sin entered the world. And so He begins, as we noted last week, by saying, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" And the key to this verse is under the sun. We're not talking about God in eternity. We're talking about life that begins when we're born and ends when we die. And God is not yet put into the equation until the final chapter. And so as we look at this, we see that life before the curse was fair. There was no vanity. There was a profit to everything, just like there will be in heaven. Everyone had dominion. Nothing could be lost, no one could die, no one could be cheated. But that's not the world we live in. And so we have to deal with this, and there's some things that we need to think about. And this is one of the reasons that life under the sun is vanity. "I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill." Now, brethren, that's not fair. It's not fair that people should train themselves to become swift and then time and chance just takes it all away. Verse 12. "For a man does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." Death is not fair. It comes without warning. It steals away the people that we love and maybe even our own life. We don't know when that's going to happen. It's just like the fish in the sea. That net is thrown over them before they even know it, and they're caught. And so when Solomon here, or the Holy Spirit here, is revealing to us that there is no perfect time and effect in this life, you can train, you can put yourself to every possible effort and still lose because of time and chance. You might twist an ankle. You might get sick the day before it happens. The race is not always to the swift, and it's so unfair. We've all read stories about Olympic contenders who worked and worked and worked, and they were at the top, and then they were not able to compete because something happened. And the rest of these we won't go into, but life, as God reveals it to us now, is just like a fish in a net or birds caught in a snare. We have no dominion. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. We might be driving down the road and somebody who is drunk strays across and we are put to death. Is that fair? We worked our whole life. We prepared ourselves. We did all of these things. We were ready to move on and do maybe wonderful things. People getting ready to retire. People getting ready to take a vacation. People getting ready to whatever it might be. There's no dominion. Now, he also tells us that even serving God doesn't help. There is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And I said, this also is vanity. And you can go through the scriptures. We're going to talk about Psalm 73 here in a little bit, where there's a man who nearly falls away when he's brought face to face with the fact that his life is not as good as the lives of the wicked people around them, and he's beginning to think that this is not fair, and maybe I should stop serving God. And this is an issue that a lot of people face. And so this is a vanity, and it occurs on the earth. There are just men who die in their youth. There are just men who are robbed, who are murdered, who are in terrible car crashes. They have to deal with genetic problems. They have to deal with all the different things that can happen under the sun. And being a godly servant of God isn't going to impact that at all. That's one of the reasons why life is vain. There's no cause and effect. There's no way to guarantee an outcome. No matter what we do, no matter how we plan, no matter how we set things forth, it doesn't always come out that way because of time and chance. And even being a godly Christian is not going to change that. This is one of the vanities that he saw. Now there's another one. I've seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is also a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. And so, what is this telling us? This is telling us that there's something about this creation. Now, I'm going to give you a I'm going to give you a hint. In 2 Peter 3, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering to all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." When we live in a world where God is more concerned about the salvation of wicked people than he is in whether his people are going to be protected from these ungodly people, then we're going to live in a world that doesn't seem to be fair. That's why the Apostle Paul, well, again, we'll talk about this toward the end of the lesson, but Paul was laying waste the church because God is long-suffering to all. A lot of Christians died. A lot of Christians lost all their possessions. A lot of Christians were put into prison. All because God wanted Saul to be saved. And when you multiply that by the countless billions of people that are on the earth today, you start factoring in, okay, God is going to let these wicked people do all kinds of wicked things and hurt a lot of people because he wants all men to be saved. He does not want anyone to perish. Now, in a world like that, where the decisions that people make are not necessarily going to end the way that we know they should, because God can see 30 years from now, 40 years from now, this person is going to become a Christian, and so I'm willing to tolerate all of that wickedness. I mean, look what happened to his son. The unfairness of those wicked men in Israel who put his son to death. And yet, as God said, you by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God did crucify and slay. So we're living in a world where there are so many cross currents, so many things that are happening that we don't understand. And that's why these things happen. And so sometimes, as this man is going to tell us in Psalm 73, I spent my whole life cleansing myself, and look at where I am, and then look at all these wicked people over here who are prospering, they're at ease, they have everything they want, their kids are strong and healthy, and look at me. So even serving God doesn't help. All things come alike to all. You can be righteous, you can be wicked, you might prosper. You might die young. There's no correlation in this life, no correlation at all between a righteous man and the outcome of his physical life and a wicked man and the outcome of his physical life. And that's what Solomon's setting forth here. So one event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath is he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. I don't think that anything illustrates this as well as what's happening in America today. The prosperity has led people to think there is no God. We don't need God. And those people who think they need God, they're no better than we are. As a matter of fact, everything that happens to us happens to them. And so we don't see any benefit whatsoever in serving God. And that's exactly where we are today, because as he said in verse 3, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same things happen to everyone. You cannot find a way to determine the outcome or the spiritual relationship they have with God by what's happening in the physical creation. Some people are going to become billionaires who are the most ungodly wretches in the world, and some people are going to be paupers who are godly, devout Christians. And so the world says it's full of madness. And again, this is where the vanity comes from. And again, it has to do with God's decision to allow the world to go on when it became completely the opposite of what it's like in heaven. On this earth, wickedness must be allowed in order for God's work and God's will to be put forth. And so we live in a world that is so contrary to what heaven's going to be like. In heaven, God is love. We will have love. God is peace. God is righteous. God is holy. Everything is fair. Everything is just. But in this life, with sin, there is no control over outcomes. And so the curse has brought about vanity. I mean, as he says, there's no cause and effect. All things come alike to all. The same things happen. So life here on earth does not reflect God's character. We would think that wicked people would be punished, righteous people would have good, prosperous lives, but it doesn't work that way. Life is not always fair. Here's what the psalmist said. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now this man is illustrating the vanity that Solomon is talking about. Actually, serving God must be done in spite of what's going on in this life. As Job found out, as Jesus found out, as so many godly people have found out, we have to serve God through adversity. We have to serve God when the whole world turns upside down and you're trying to find God's blessings in the material creation and you can't find any. And so this is an issue that we all need to look at and try to understand before it happens to us. And that's a concern that I'm having right now as I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at the wickedness of the world and I'm looking at the potential persecution. I'm sure you've been following this anti-Semitism, this view. I read this afternoon that the rabbi at this Columbia University has told all the Jewish students, you need to go home because there's no way the police or anyone else can guarantee your safety. Now, if they're going to do that to the Jews, and you're thinking, why are they doing that to the Jews? And why are they doing that to people that they don't agree with or they don't like? And you just see it's getting closer and closer and closer. And sooner or later, it's going to jump from the Jews to the Christians. And that's exactly what happened in the Roman Empire. First, they destroyed Jews. They put them all to death, the destruction of Jerusalem. Within a few years, the Christians were also put into the same situation. And pretty soon, Rome was killing Christians just like it had killed the Jews. And so before that happens, we need to come to grips with this. This life may completely fall apart. We may have no physical benefits whatsoever from our service to God. And that shouldn't be a problem. Just like this man here, he's having a problem because he can see that cause and effect was suspended by the curse. You can't look at a man and the outcome of his life and determine whether God loved him or not. You can't look at the blessings, the physical benefits, the life under the sun and make a decision, okay, this guy God is blessing. Now we see this all the time. I'm rich, so God must love me. A lot of denominational people, that's their attitude. But what they forget is, as Jesus said, God sends his son on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain to the just and the unjust. You cannot determine whether a man is evil or good by looking at his bank account, by looking at his health, by looking at his life, by looking at all the wonderful things that are going on, and you say to yourself, that man is righteous. Then you look at the Christian, and the Christian, as this man said, I'm having all kinds of problems. So the world literally is turned upside down. So here's what this man saw. There are no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Now here's this godly, righteous man who's being persecuted, whose life is not unfolding the way he had anticipated. He didn't have the blessings that these people were having. He didn't have the prosperity that these people were having. And this had caused him to have a serious issue. So the wicked, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. Don't you think God should have created the world so that people like this would have to pay for what they're doing? But this is not what God wanted. God wanted people he could save by faith. If he always made the wicked go down and he always brought the righteous up, many people would want to become Christians only for the physical benefits, not because of their love for God. So these people, on the other hand, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Look at these people who don't serve God, and look at me who serves God. Now, if you read the Bible, you will see the truth. But if you look at the physical creation, you're going to come away with a skewed view, because that's the way the curse has damaged this material creation. Now, his understanding finally came. But as he looks back on his attitude, he realizes how close he came to making a terrible mistake. If I had said, I will speak thus, I've cleansed my heart in vain. The wicked are better off than I am. Why am I being chastened? If I had spoken like this, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. until I went into the sanctuary of God and I understood their end. So, you know, brethren, I don't know that you and I have ever felt quite as strongly as this man did, but this psalm is in here to give us a worst case scenario, a case where we actually feel the way this man. Life is not fair. I don't understand why my service to God is bringing such terrible things into my life. I'm wasting my time serving God. I've washed my hands in vain. I can't see any benefits in the material realm to my service to God. And he said, if I had said, this is what I'm going to say, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. I would have become a stumbling block. I would have caused some people to fall away. And this is something for all us to think about, because as I said, when something terrible happens, and you know, we've been very fortunate. Some of us have things in our past that are so unfair and so terrible that we can't hardly think about it. But many of us have just kind of skated through life. We don't have these issues, but I'm saying, I don't know if that's going to continue or not. So here's the key. This is what we talked about earlier. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What's his promise? Those who are righteous will be rewarded. Those who are wicked will be punished. And that promise is not slackened. Even though we're waiting year after year after year for the Lord to do something, he is not slack concerning his promise. He's being long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we look at the world, we see total unfairness. We see things happening to ungodly people, we see things happening to godly people. Godly people are persecuted. Why doesn't God stop that? Because he's long-suffering, not willing for. And so how can God do this and keep life fair? If some are receiving long suffering, it means others are suffering under their hands. And so the cost of being long suffering, many of the saints, I shut up in prison. God could have stopped that. He could have struck Paul dead and protected his people. But he would rather have his people in prison and Paul saved. He would rather have us in grave misfortunes and difficulties if it will bring about the salvation of other people. And we say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Think about Jesus. Isn't that exactly what happened with Jesus? God would rather have Jesus, Isaiah 53, mistreated and beaten and spat upon and all kinds of terrible things happen. He would rather have that so that some could be saved, more could be saved. So Paul said, I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. See, this is the unknown factor that we just don't know. And that is, when terrible things are happening, we don't know why God is letting this happen. We'll talk about Habakkuk later, where Habakkuk says, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? And God answers back to him, I'm working a work right now, and you'll see it. So here's the situation. Paul is one of millions and billions of people. You know, we look back into the period of time when our nation was not doing righteous things. They were mistreating people. They were doing things that were inappropriate. We can go back and look at the history of the world and see all kinds of unfair and terrible things. But the simple answer to this multifaceted and extremely complicated subject is God wants all men to be saved. And he's long-suffering. And he may allow you and I to suffer terrible things because there's somebody else along the way that God can save because we had to go through that. And so these are things that we have to understand, because we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. This is another way of describing the vanity of vanities. This is another way of describing the curse. The whole creation is groaning, creaking, and laboring with birth pangs. Not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, Christians, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. As long as we're in this sin-cursed world, life is not going to be to the swift. The battle's not going to be to the strong. We're not always going to be successful. We're going to make all these plans. Everything can fall apart in a heartbeat. We can get sick. We can die. We can be run over. We can be persecuted. We can be lied about. We can be cheated. There's so many ways that things cannot be fair. But we're servants of God. We're His children. Why won't He protect us? And the answer is, life is more important than our physical comfort. His eternal purpose is to save as many people as possible, and that's why this world is the way it is. You say, well, why is the world so unfair? Because God wants to be able to use the terrible things in this life to bring some people to their knees. Now, while it's bringing one person to his knees, it's taking a Christian and crushing him under a burden. And we have to look at these things, and we have to realize that, yeah, we are going to groan within ourselves. Life can be unfair and unjust. Well, here's this man's final conclusion. Surely you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you will despise their image. Now, this is the answer. It's the answer we find in the book of Job. It's the answer that we're going to find throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament. All accounts are not settled here. You cannot determine the eternal outcome of any individual until we stand before the judgment bar of Christ. When we stand before the judgment bar of Christ, there are going to be many people who are looked upon as being despised and ill-treated and misused, like the apostles. The apostles were looked upon as the scum of the earth, and yet the earth had never been blessed with such people. They did so much good. Think of how many people are going to be saved because of the misery of the apostles, just like how many people are going to be saved because of the misery of Jesus. Jesus' death proves the love of God. It doesn't prove God's weakness. The Jews thought, because we've killed him, he wasn't blessed of God. Boy, how wrong they could have been. How wrong they were. So understanding brings wisdom. My heart was grieved. I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. So, Solomon does an assessment in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he makes it very clear life is not working the way God wanted it to in the material creation. As a matter of fact, everything's vanity because we have this issue. No control. The race is not to the swift. The battle's not to the strong. Godliness doesn't even help. Purity and holiness. I'm going to be a godly, devout Christian. I'm going to walk softly. I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be righteous. You know, that doesn't guarantee anything in this life. It guarantees eternal life, and that's why we're doing it. But sometimes the most terrible things can happen to Christians, and we simply have to understand that this world is vain. This world, there's no cause and effect. You can't guarantee an outcome. You can't guarantee that everything is going to go the way you hope it will, because this world is not operating on that principle anymore. Time and chance is at work. And we can pray that God will bless us with a safe journey, but that's not always going to happen because of time and chance and because of the wickedness of this world. And so this man repented and showed godly sorrow at its finest. And that's where we have to look at ourselves. I know we've all gone through situations where we were like this man, where we were wondering, how in the world? Why is God letting these kind of terrible things happen? Or if not, somebody's come to us and said, could you explain to me why God let that happen? Why is God letting a million babies be put to death in America every year? Why doesn't he stop that? Well, think about it. What would he have to do to stop it? He'd have to destroy America. And we might be saying, well, that'd be fine with me. But there might be 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000, there may be that many people in this world today waiting to be converted in this country. And so God is letting these wicked people do wicked things, not because he likes it, not because he's tolerating it, but because he's long-suffering and his desire to save the people who can still be saved is higher than him allowing ungodly people to do ungodly things. Now, we may or may not agree with that. We may or may not like that, but that's the way it is. God thinks that the salvation of individuals is more important than the life of his son. God thinks that the salvation of as many people as possible is more important than the comfort of the apostles and prophets who work so diligently. And God thinks that the salvation of people is more important than allowing his people to be persecuted and tribulation and trials and difficulties and crying out, this isn't fair. And it's not fair. But cause and effect has been suspended. As long as this life is in effect, you're not going to see the kind of things we're going to see in heaven. We're not going to see the kind of things we're going to see on the judgment day, where righteousness and compassion and mercy are going to intervene. But in this life, they don't always do that. Now, a lot of times they do, but you can't count on it. And that's why godly Christians have both their feet on the ground and they are not expecting material blessings for their spiritual service. If we get them, I look at that like icing on the cake. I look at that as one of the fringe benefits. Not only do we understand the godliness and the holiness and the righteousness, but we're not being persecuted at this time and we're being blessed with prosperity and peace and ease. And brethren, if you want to think about it, we have dominion in America like people don't have anywhere else in the world and like people who lived in days gone by didn't have. We can avoid many of the terrible consequences that Solomon talks about in that last chapter, about the various ailments that come when the dark days come. And you know something? We've pushed those dark days so far down the road with glasses, with teeth that can be fixed, with all of these things, with medications that can stop the various things that he talks about, the weakness of the legs, the weakness of the arms, the difficulties, the inability to hear, a lot of the things. But there's no guarantee. And some of us are going to have a much more difficult time than others. And life's not fair. But godly people like this man, when they start thinking about how unfair it is and they start getting ready to point their finger at God, they stop and they say, wait a minute, I'm being foolish, I'm being ignorant, I'm acting like a beast. And so, brethren, the purpose of this lesson is just to outline what the scriptures say. We have Solomon telling us that one event, the same events happen to everyone no matter what their circumstances are. There's time and chance. There is life in which things are happening that shouldn't be happening to people and things that should be happening that aren't happening. And you look at it, and as Solomon said at the end of the book, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now again, we're not suspending God and God's plans. These are all here. And as George pointed out at the end of the lesson last week, not everything is vain, but everything in this life is vain. Everything in this life, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And every plan that you've made could crumble into dust just that fast. That's why it's vain. Not because service to God won't bring eternal life. That's always going to be the case. But the rest of these things have created, as Solomon said, insanity. There's insanity in the minds of so many people. They can't see the value of serving God. And how many Christians have we known through the years, as Jesus said, when persecution and tribulation arises because of the word, they stumble. Just like a plant that's planted in rocky ground and it has no root. And so, brethren, this the purpose of this lesson, again, we're just laying some foundations. We're going to keep going and talking about these things because it's good to expand our mind. It's good to look at scriptures that are not exactly fair and just and upright, but they need to be factored in. The book of Ecclesiastes needs to be factored in to the way we're living our lives, because Satan, his view, as we see in Job, is if you take away his physical blessings, he will curse you. Well, not us, because we understand that these things are in effect. And our service to God has no influence. And really, we're not serving God for the things in this life. We're serving God for eternity. We're serving God because it's the right thing to do. We don't need to be bribed. We don't need to have all sorts of physical material blessings in order to keep our life with God the way that it should be. Our service is like Job's. Regardless of what happens, the Lord gave, the Lord can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I hope that's the attitude that we all have in here. All right, as we pick up our songbooks now, we turn our songbooks over to 540, Come Unto Me. And as we look at this song and as we sing the song, let's think about our own attitude toward God and the unfairness in this life and what kind of an impact it has had on our relationship with Him. And whether or not we truly love Him, we truly trust Him, we truly understand, and all of these matters that are unfair, we're going to be like Job. We're just going to wait until God reveals it. So if you're here this evening and you've struggled with any of these things, go home and think about this and get your heart right with God, just like this man here did, and realize that if we don't think anything except what we've talked about this evening, we're being foolish and we're acting like a beast. And so as we sing this song, if anyone would like to make their life right with God, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.